Welcome to a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service, or ERS. This podcast highlights an article from Amber Waves, the magazine of the Economic Research Service. We are joined now by Sheila Sankaran, the executive editor of Amber Waves.
Thank you. Here with me today is Ron Durst, the author of the Amber Waves article, Lowering the Income Cap for Farm Payments Would Affect Few Farmers. Ron, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Sheila. I'm happy to be here.
Ron, maybe you can start by explaining the income cap for farm payments.
Well, an income cap is a limit on the amount of income an individual can receive and still be eligible for farm program payments. Since the 2002 Farm Bill, an individual has been ineligible for farm program payments if their average adjusted gross income, their AGI, for the three prior years exceeded $2.5 million. Those that receive more than three-fourths of their income from farming, forestry, or ranching operations are exempted from this cap. Since relatively few farmers have income over $2.5 million, the effect of this cap has been minimal.
So what motivated your interest in the income cap?
Well, despite efforts to limit program payments, a substantial portion of payments continue to go to large, high-income farmers. In 2005, commercial farms, those with sales more than $250,000, represented only about 9% of all farms, but received 54% of all payments. These farms had average household income of $200,000 and more than three times the average for all other farms. In an effort to reduce the payments going to these high-income farmers, the administration's 2007 Farm Bill plan proposed reducing the income cap to $200,000 and eliminating the exception for those with at least three-fourths of their income from farming. As you can imagine, this proposal has stimulated interest in information concerning the number, geographic distribution, and other characteristics of these high-income farmers who might be affected by the cap.
So how many farmers have income over $200,000, and where are they located?
In 2004, there were just over 2 million farm sole proprietors. These are self-employed individuals as opposed to partnerships or corporations. Of these, only about 85,000 had income over $200,000. This represents the top 4% of proprietors in terms of income. At the state level, the share of farmers with income over $200,000 varies considerably, from 1.5% in North Dakota to slightly more than 13% for New Jersey. At the regional level, the Corn Belt and Plain states report the lowest shares, while the Northeast and West regions report the largest share of farmers with income over $200,000. In terms of number of farmers, just four states, California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia, account for over one-third of all proprietors with income high enough to be potentially affected by the proposed cap. I want to emphasize that these are all proprietors with income over $200,000, not just those with payments. Only about 30% of these actually received payments in 2004. So the number that would potentially lose payments due to the lower cap is much smaller.
For those farm proprietors that could potentially lose payments, how large are those payments and how important are they to their total household income?
For those farm proprietors with income over $200,000 that received payments, the average payment amount was about $13,000. One of the most interesting facts about these proprietors is that most actually report a loss for tax purposes. Only about one-fourth reported positive farm income in 2004, and their average farm income was only $45,000. In aggregate, all proprietors with income over $200,000 reported an average farm loss of about $23,600. This suggests that for an overwhelming majority of these farmers, farm income and government payments account for a relatively small share of their total household income. Most of their income is from off-farm sources.
How would the lower cap affect different types of farms, for example, crop farms versus livestock farms?
Well, as you would expect, a larger share of crop than livestock farms received program payments and had income over $200,000 in 2004. However, many livestock farms also produce program crops and could be affected by the cap. In 2004, a little over 2% of all crop farms versus about 1% of livestock farms received payments and had income over $200,000. Average payments for crop farms were also higher, in fact, nearly double the average for livestock farms. of crop farms, rice and cotton farms are most likely to be subject to the proposed cap, with about 8.5% and a little over 9% of rice and cotton farms receiving program payments and having income over $200,000. This compares to about 5.5% of corn farms and only a little over 1% of soybean farms. Average payments for the rice and cotton farms were also well above average for all other farms potentially affected by the cap. With regard to livestock operations, hog farms are the most likely to be subject to the cap, with a little over 6% of these farms with payments and income over $200,000. These operations, although they're classified as hog farms, likely produce substantial corn or other program crop.
I understand that the House of Representatives just recently passed their version of the 2007 Farm Bill with a different income cap. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Compared to the administration's $200,000 cap, the recent House bill would reduce the current cap of $2.5 million to $1 million. However, the limit is actually $500,000 if more than a third of the farmer's income is from off-farm sources. For a married couple, also, this cap is effectively doubled since both can qualify for the limit. Based on 2004 tax data, there are only about 25,000 farm sole proprietors with income over $500,000 and just under 10,000 with income over $1 million. Not all of these receive payments, but those receiving payments with income over $500,000 received about $86 million in total payments. Thus, although it's not possible to determine exactly how many farm operators or their spouses might be eligible for the higher $1 million cap, it's safe to say that a much smaller share of both farmers and payments would be affected by the House bill compared to the administration's proposal.
Ron, this has been very interesting. Thanks for spending some time with us to share your findings. I've been speaking with Ron Durst, the author of the Amber Waves article, Lowering the Income Cap for Farm Payments Would Affect Few Farmers, and a companion report, The Effects of Reducing the Income Cap on Eligibility for Farm Payments. You can reach Ron directly at 202-694-5347 or at rdurst@ers.usda.gov. You can access the latest issue of Amber Waves at www.ers.usda.gov/amberwaves. You will also find articles on the effects of ethanol production on U.S. agriculture, growth in U.S. agricultural trade, and shifts in U.S. dairy production to larger operations. This is Sheila Sankaran. Thank you for listening.
This has been a podcast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service.